Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn to the upper part of Daf Kuf Tes Vov, Omid Aleph. The Gemara Shiur will begin from the 8th line from the top, last word in the line, Omar. However, before we do the Gemara itself, let's glance at the outside margin where we have a topic heading. In our Shas Ozer marked Gemaras, we attempt to provide topic headings and structural notes as each new sugya appears. In this case, we have a sugya entitled, the topic heading, Mitzvos Mevatlois Zu Ezu, the ability of one mitzvah to cancel out the other mitzvah. Krichas Matzo Moror, we will deal with the sandwiching of the matzah and moror, Shitas Hillel Zecher LeMikdash, eating the matzah and moror together, as was the practice of Hillel in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Ravina, Omar Li, Rav Misharshia Breda Rav Noson, Hochi Omar Hillel, Mishmei de Gemara. Ravina tells us that Rav Misharshia told him in the name of Hillel, who has on a tradition. It might be noteworthy that the Ran commentary says that this Hillel is an Amora, not to be confused with Hillel, the very famous Tana, who will appear a little bit later in the Gemara discussion. However, for the time being, the following is said over in the name of tradition. Loi nichroich inish, matzah umoror bahadi hadodi venecho. One should not bind together, wrap together, or we can say sandwich together, the matzah and moror and eat them together. Mishum, the reason being, to sviralon, because we hold matzah bizman hazed oraisa, the level of mitzvah obligation with regard to matzah is a Torah level. Nowadays, umoror de rabbonan, the level of obligation regarding the eating of moror nowadays, as opposed to the time the Beis HaMikdash was standing, moror nowadays is of a rabbinic nature. We'll refer to that as a lower level of obligation than the matzah obligation nowadays. And if one eats them together, the following will happen: the osi moror de rabbonan. There comes along the moror, which is rabbinic, umevatil le lematza doraisa, and will cancel the matzah mitzvah, which is of a doraisa level. In other words, we have this concept. It's a bit of an abstract concept, but a lower level item contradicts or voids the higher level item. V'afilu l'manda omar mitzvois ein mevatlos zuazu, and even according to the opinion that in general mitzvos do not cancel one another out, hani mili, that is true, doraisa b'doraisa o derabonon b'derabonon, that's provided the two competing forces, if you will, are both on the same level of obligation. Avol doraisa u derabonon, if you have two elements but on different levels of obligation, one being a Torah level and the other merely rabbinic, osi derabonon umavatil le doraisa, the rabbinic item can come along and cancel the Torah level item. Man tana deshamis le mitzvos ein mevatlos zuazu. Who happens to be the opinion that holds that mitzvos do not cancel one another out? The answer to that is Hillel. It's the Tana Hillel, the Sanyo, the following Tanaic source, and you can see in our marking system, Tanaic sources appear in frames so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Omru alav al Hillel, it was said regarding Hillel that lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Shaya korchon bevas achas the ochlon. He sandwiched them together. We're talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a Korban Pesach. There was matzah and moror. He sandwiched them all together and ate them as thusly. Shenemar, the pasuk says, al matzos umrorim yochlu, that together with matzah and moror you will eat the Korban Pesach. So what do we see? We see three different mitzvahs being consumed in one shot. But at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to matzah being derisa, so too was moror, and of course the Korban Pesach. And this opinion says that mitzvos do not cancel each other out. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rabbi Yochanan underlined, and a little aleph accompanies his name so as to draw your attention to the fact that there will be a second opinion on this topic that Rabbi Yochanan addresses a few lines later. It happens to be Rav Ashi, who's noted with a beis. So let's see, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? He says, Cholkin olav chaverov al Hillel. The colleagues of Hillel disagree with him. In other words, Hillel just said that mitzvos ain mevat lasu asu. We're now expected to see a source in which other Tanoim hold that mitzvos do cancel each other out, and as a result of that, one should be careful to eat each mitzvah separately. Desanya, the following source, Yochol ye korchon bevasachas ve'ochlon, kederech shehillel ochlon. Could it be that one should sandwich together all of the items and eat them together like Hillel? Talmud Lomar, al matzos umrorim yochluhu. That's what the pasuk says. Afilu ze bifnei atzmo veze bifnei atzmo. Even each one separately. So at this point, Rabbi Yochanan wants you to think, by the fact that this source indicates Zeb ifnei atzmo, that this source disagrees, the Tana behind this source disagrees with Hillel. However, Maskif law Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi attacks this contention. Ihochi, if this source represented an opinion that disagrees with Hillel, my afilu, what is the purpose of the word afilu? In other words, if you read the source as it is with the word afilu in it, it comes out that after quoting the pasuk, it says, al matzos merom yochlu, the source is telling me, even if you eat each one by itself, you will fulfill. But by phrasing things that way, you're saying that certainly you will fulfill it if you eat it together. However, but even if you eat them separately, you will be in fulfillment. So how does this source show that the colleagues of Hillel disagree with him on the count of mitzvos ein mevatlos zuazu? According to this authority, the same thing would hold true, that mitzvos ein mevatlos zuazu. Simply, he adds the possibility of one being able to eat them even separately. But on the issue of mitzvos mevat lazu azu, there is no disagreement. Elo Omar Ravashi. Hai Tana Hochi Kotoni. The Tana that we just read should be understood thusly. Yochol lo yetze behu yidei chivaso elo im kein korchon bevasachas. The ochlon kederach shilol ochlon. Should one think that one cannot fulfill his obligation unless he sandwiches them together? Talmud Lomar, al matzos umrorim yochluhu, which indicates, afilu ze bifnei atzmo veze bifnei atzmo. It could be that there is a machlokis between Hillel and the Chachomim, but not on the issue of mitzvos mevat lazu azu. According to both Hillel and this source, we see that there exists an option of eating the mitzvos together. Hence, their ein mevat lazu azu. However, the question is, must one eat them specifically together, or is there an option of eating them even separately? That may be, in fact, the point of disagreement, where Hillel says you have to eat them together, if you're, of course, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and this Tana says you don't have to eat them together. Hashto delo itmar hilchisa lo kihilo veloi karabonan. Now, at this point, that the Gemara does not resolve whether the halacha follows hilo versus the rabbonan, what should we do? So the Gemara tells us, "Mevorech al achilas matzah v'ochil." Eat first the matzah separately. Make a brocha on the matzah and eat it separately. V'hadar mevorech al achilas moror v'ochil, and then make a brocha of achilas moror and eat it by itself. V'hadar ochil matzah v'chasa v'hadi adodi b'loy brocha zecher lemikdash kilol. And then, after you have fulfilled the matzah requirement and the moror requirement, eat them together in commemoration of what Hillel used to do during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. As you can see, in our markings we have a slash mark, which indicates that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin of our marked Gemaras, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written on the side, Netilas Yodayim, the need for washing hands, al tibuloi b'mashker, with regard to food items that are dipped into different beverages. For our purposes, we can limit our discussion to what we see during the Seder. We see different items dipped into something else. We see the karpas vegetable dipped into water, and we are familiar with the dipping of the moror into the charoses. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shaya, kol shetibuloi b'mashke, any food item that's dipped into a liquid, the types of liquid that require this washing is not going to be the purview of our discussion, so we will speak in general terms right now, that any food item that's dipped into a liquid, tzorech netilas yadayim, necessitates the need for a washing of the hands before eating the item that was dipped into the beverage. Omar Rav Papa, Shma Mina, we can conclude from the fact that a netila, a washing of the hands, is needed for the moror. The explanation we're giving right now in the words of this Gemara is based on the Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel is found at the very end of the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, which appears in the outside section of the Gemara page. The last line, the second to last line, you see, Omar Papa Shvamino Midikotoni Moror Tzorich Netilas Yadayim. From the fact that we are taught that Moror needs a washing of the hands. Now, this idea that Moror needs the washing of the hands, we haven't seen yet in our Gemara. However, it could very well be that based on Rav Chisda, who appears several lines from the top of Omid Beis, you see this idea there. Rav Chisda mentions Nota Yodav Betibul Risho, Notel Yodav Betibul Sheni. So that Rav Chisda is making reference to a need for a washing of the hands for the moror. So with all that introduction in mind, let's proceed with Rav Papa, who says that Shma Mino, we can conclude from the teaching that the moror needs a netilas yadayim, that hai chaso is the vegetable used for the moror, the lettuce, tzorech lishku'e the charoses, that you have to submerge it in the charoses. Mishum kofa, the submerging in the need to submerge it in the charoses in the first place is because of kofa. Kofa is a term to which the Rashbam supplies two explanations. One of the explanations has to do with a type of venom that's in the in the lettuce that's neutralized by being immersed in the charoses. And the second opinion is that it has to do with a worm that exists, that the subjecting it to the charoses will neutralize it. So far, Rav Papa is telling us, and we've emphasized with our markings, the term, we say, we have a dashed underlining under tzorach, and also a different type of dash underlining under lishkue. And the reason for these markings will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. However, Rav Papa is saying it has to be submerged into the charoses. Let's go over this point again. By the fact that there is a washing of the hands before the eating of the mora, it must be that it was submerged in the charoses. The charoses being an example of a mashke for our purposes. After all, the charoses contains within it wine as one of its ingredients. Hence, the dipping of the moror, the lettuce, into the charoses categorizes it as a dover shetibula b'mashke. And the fact that before eating the moror, I'm washing my hands, it shows us that the moror must have been dipped into the charoses. De'i salkadaitach lo tzorach lishkue, if one were to think that there is no need to submerge it into the charoses, netilas yadayim lomali, why would there be any need for the washing of the hands? Ha lo noga, his hand didn't come into contact with the mashke. So at this point we have the first stage of the discussion, where Rav Papa seems to be convinced that the washing of the hands indicates that the charoses was, that the mora was submerged into the charoses, hence the need for the washing of the hands. The Gemara says, V'dilma li'olam e'maloch, I might argue, lo tzorech lishkue, that I don't have to submerge it into the charoses. The kofa meirecha mayis, the kofa, which is either the venom or the worm, through the mere smell, the scent generated by the charoses, mayis will kill it or neutralize the danger posed by the kofa. Ela lomali netilas yadayim, if there is no necessity of submerging it in order to accomplish the neutralizing of the kofa, then why do I have to wash my hands? To that we say, dilma mishaku lei. We wash the hands because you might come to submerge it. In other words, practically speaking, it would be sufficient to hover the lettuce over the charoses. However, some people might not have full control over their movements, and they'll end up submerging it into the charoses. And the event that that happens, then, in fact, there would be a need for the washing of the hands. So we're arguing that under all circumstances, one should wash his hands, even though we cannot conclude from the need to wash one's hands that there is a definitive need to submerge. That's lishkue, to submerge the moror into the charoses. The Omar Rav Papa. We have another comment of Rav Papa. We should have noted on Omer Aleph that when we saw Rav Papa in the triangle, we had indicated with our Mivneh heading, which we did not note, but these triangles represent Memros de Rav Papa Be'inyan Tibul Moror B'charoses. These are comments of Rav Papa regarding the dipping of the moror into the charoses. The Omer of Papa, lo nishi inish moror b'charoses, a person should not delay the moror in the charoses, even though Rav Papa mentioned the need to submerge the moror into the charoses, but one should not delay it in the charoses, let it soak, so to speak, in the charoses. Dilmo agav chalya de tavlin, because through the sweetness of the spices that one added to the charoses, mevatil le lemurei, that will cancel or void the bitter taste or the lettuce taste, which is called the moror taste. Uboinon ta'am or vorlekon. We require the mitzvah of moror is a mitzvah that is taste oriented, taste centered, and if the charoses, if the moror is allowed to soak in the charoses, the soaking will neutralize the moror taste to the lettuce, and you will thereby not fulfill the moror mitzvah. What's interesting to note, though, is the mere submerging and immediate extrication of the moror from the charoses, that does not neutralize the inherent moror taste that's in the lettuce. The ability to neutralize the inherent taste would be accomplished only through the soaking of the moror, the delay of the moror in the charoses. That would thereby the charoses taste, this tavlin, the spice taste, would interact with the moror cells, so to speak. That would be a problem. But the fact that the charoses is stuck to the moror after it's been immediately removed from the charoses, that does not interfere with the moror taste that's in the lettuce. Adabre Rav Chisda l'Ravna Ukva. Rav Chisda took along Ravna Ukva. The word adabre has to do with taking along somebody. So he took along Ravna Ukva Vidorash and taught. Notal Yodov Betibul Rishoin, Noitel Yodov Betibul Sheni. If one, or after, even though one washed his hands for the first dipping, he must wash his hands for the second dipping. Amrua Rabbanan, before we go on, we have a marking, the double underline marking, and this is featured in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, Shnei Deos, Ahecho Koi Divrei Rav Chisda. There are two opinions as to what Rav Chisda's comment is going on. Rav Chisda's comment was, Notal Yodah Betibul Rishon, Notal Yodah Betibul Sheni. So, as we say, the double underlinings, you can see, are featured with a 1 and a few lines later a number 2 as to what Rav Chisda's comment is actually referring to. So, Amrua Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Papa. This teaching that Rav Chisda issued was taught in front of Rav Papa. And the Rabbanan said to Rav Papa, Ha, Rav Chisda's teaching be'almo itmar is going on other days of the year. In other words, it's not focused on the Seder night. To the contrary, it's focused on all the rest of the year, not the Seder night. During other days of the year, if one dipped something in order to eat it, dipped something into a mashke, so he has to wash before eating that. There isn't any kvius, any established need for additional dippings when you're dealing with other days of the year. So at the point that he washed his hand for the first dipped item, he did not have in mind any second or subsequent dippings. And in the event that he does do a second dipping, the washing of his hands that he did for the first one will not cover the second dipped item. He will have experienced a hesech hadas, a lack of concentration or lack of focus, lack of anticipation, if you will, when you're dealing with other days of the year. The Gemara continues, De'i salkadaitoch hocha itmar, if one were to think that Rav Chisda's comment of the need for a second washing, for the second dipping, was a Seder requirement, Lama li netilis antrei zimni. Why in the world would he have to wash his hands twice? Hamashale yode chadazimno. He already washed his hands for the first dipping. He washed his hands for the first dipping, mitire his hands, thereby purifying his hands, and he knew a second dipping was going to take place. And therefore, should the first washing not have counted
and covered both the first and second dippings, being that he had the second dipping in mind, and thereby knew to concentrate on his hands and the tower of his hands after the first washing to cover the second one. Therefore, the Rabbonan, this Amru Rabbonan, concludes that Rav Chisda's comment must have been with regard to the rest of the year and not the Seder night. Omar Luhu, Rav Papa counters and says to them, he says, Adarabba, to the contrary, Hocha Itmar. The comment of Rav Chisda is a Seder night comment. If one were to think that Rav Chisda's comment was a comment made with regard to the rest of the year, Lomali Tre Tibuli, why is there any need for two dippings? If you focus on Rav Chisda's comment, he said, just going back a minute, he said, Notal Yodav Betibul Rishon, Notal Yodav Betibul Sheni, suggesting that there is by necessity a second dipping. So if you were dealing with the rest of the year, since when is there a necessity for a second dipping? Elomai, so what does Rav Papa want to say? Hocha Itmar, that Rav Chisda's comment is a Seder comment. Well, then, still the old question comes back. Netilas Yadayim Tre Zimni Loma Li Ha Mosha Le Yodei Chada Zimna. A second washing, why is that necessary? Has he not already washed his hands once? And being that it's the Seder night, so why is it that the washing of the hands for the first dipping, why should that not cover the second expected dipping as well? Amri, so we provide an answer why there's a need on the Seder night for a second hand washing. Kevon deboi lemeimar agadito v'halelo, since between the karpas, the first dipping, and the eventual eating of the mor, the second dipping, there's a long gap in time during which a person is reading the Haggadah and reciting the first half of the Hallel. Only after all of that does he come to eating the moror, the second dipping. Therefore, dilmo asuche asche ledaite vinoga. There is fear that he lost concentration. He lost his focus on his hands. And in the interim, he touched things that are mitama, his hands, thereby rendering the first hand washing useless with regard to the second dipping of the second dipping, which is the eating of the moror. Therefore, there is a need, even on the Seder night, for a second hand washing. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Bola Matzah, one who swallows matzah, or Moror, Bali Lil Ois, without chewing, Haim Yotza, has he fulfilled his mitzvah requirement? The swallowing of matzah, the swallowing of moror. What's the story? Omar Rava, Bola Matzah Yotza. If a person swallowed matzah, that means he swallowed without chewing it first, he fulfills his requirement. Bola Moror Lo Yotza. However, through the swallowing of moror, he does not fulfill his requirement. In the case of matzah, the pasuk says, Bo'erev tochlu matzos. The requirement is to eat matzah. Through swallowing a food item, that's considered eating. With regard to moror, though, there is a requirement that goes beyond the mere eating, per se. In the case of moror, the purpose of it is to perceive the moror taste, sometimes translated as a bitter taste. So therefore, if one swallows it, he doesn't experience the ta'am moror. And therefore, bola moror, Rava says, is not yotze. Bola matza umoror, yedei matza yotza, yedei moror lo yotza. If one swallows both of them, so he fulfills the matzah requirement, but does not fulfill the moror requirement. Korchon besiv ubalon, if he wrapped them, the matzah and the moror, in a sieve. Sieve is a substance that grows on the inside of the bark of a palm tree. For our purposes, it's important to note that the matzah and moror themselves are not coming into contact with the person's digestive apparatus. Namely, it's not in contact with his mouth nor with his esophagus. And as a result of that, af yedei matzo nami lo yotza. He is not in fulfillment even of the matzah requirement. And as we said, that's because it's not considered as if it was in him at all. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice another slash mark indicating that the following is a new idea. On the outside margin, you notice the Nosei Mivne heading. We have a house form that's used. These represent Shnei Deos, two opinions. Haim Boi Shihei Befnei Kol Echod Mehamasubin. Is it necessary that there be placed in front of each one of the participants of the Seder Matzah Mor Haroisis, these items, the matzah mor and the haroses, and we'll also talk about akiras shulchan, the removal of the table. Bearing in mind, as we've mentioned on previous occasions in this perek, the Gemara takes into the Gemara assumes an eating situation that we do not have today, and that is a personal table in front of everyone, in front of each one of the participants. And these personal tables were rather small, personal in size, and could easily be removed if necessary. Nowadays, we have large, heavy eating tables, and the idea of akiras ha-shulchan takes on a different form. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, matzo lifnei kol echod ve'echod. Moror lifnei kol echod ve'echod. V'charoises lifnei kol echod ve'echod. Each one of these items is to be placed in front of each one of the participants. V'ein oikrin es ha-shulchan elo lifnei mi she'oimer ha-godah. When needed, in order to arouse the curiosity of the children, there was a practice of removing the table. In other words, if one would remove the table with the food on it before the meal, that would motivate a child to ask the question of, hey, what's going on over here? We haven't even eaten yet. In other words, this practice of akiras ha-shulchan, according to Rav Simi Bar Ashi, that's done only in front of the one who is reciting the Haggadah. Apparently, according to Rav Simi Bar Ashi, the practice was that one individual would lead the Seder, he would recite the Haggadah, and everyone would listen. Rav Huna Omer, Kulhu Nami, all of the other elements as well, the Matzah, Moror, and Haroses, as well, Lifnei Mi She'omer Haggadah. They are placed only in front of the one reciting the Haggadah. It's not necessary for each one of the items to be in front of each participant. And when the time comes to eat of them, so the one leading the recitation of the Haggadah will distribute these items to the others around. The Hilchasa Kiravuna, the Gemara rules like Rav Huna. Even though preempted the Gemara, the Gemara nevertheless asks, Lama Oikrin Es HaShulchan, why is there a need for this practice called Akiras HaShulchan? So, as we already answered, you see now in the Gemara, Amri Debei Rav Yanai, Kedei Shiakiru Tinoikos V'Yishalu. So, as to draw the attention, the awareness of the children to what's going on, and that will motivate them to ask questions. And as we've said on numerous occasions, the Seder night is characterized by a question-answer style. And the focus of the Seder night is to be on the children, as the pasuk says, "V'higadeta lebincha bayom ahu." We're communicating our origin of the Jewish people in the form of the Yetzias Mitzrayim on this night. And in order to motivate the questions, we do unusual things. And one of those things is this Akiras HaShulchan. Abaye havi Yosef kameh derabo. Abaye was, in all likelihood, at this point in the Gemara, was a boy, and he was raised by Rabba. He grew up in Rabba's home, and Abaye was sitting on the Seder night in the presence of Rabba, chozo deko madli tako mekameh, and he saw them removing the table. Madli is to pick up the tako, the table, from in front of him. Omar luhu. Abaye asked, Adayin lo ko achlinon, osu kama akri tako mikamon, we haven't eaten yet, and now you're already removing the table? Omar le Rabba. Rabba, upon hearing this question, he says, Patrasan miloimar ma nishtana. From the fact that you asked this question, and Tosis points out, this question is only the beginning of questions. In other words, the question that the child asks about the removal of the table will be a springboard for further questions. However, the Gemara's comment here that you have thereby relieved us of our obligation of saying the Ma Nishtana, the Rashbam explains that there is a halacha that if one is sitting alone, he shall say the Manishtana, ask the Manishtana questions to himself. However, since someone else asks the questions, the person who is leading the Haggadah recitation, once someone else, once in this case the child, asks the questions, the one reciting the Haggadah does not have to say that passage. And that's what's meant over here by Rabba saying that since you asked the questions, you have exempted us from our needing to say the Ma Nishtana. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic. On the outside margin, the Nosei, the topic heading, you notice, Pirush Lechem Oini. At this point, the Gemara will explain the expression in the Torah that's used in conjunction with the matzis, the term Lechem Oni. Omar Shmuel, Lechem Oini, Lechem She'inin Olov Dvorim. Even though the word Oni in a simple level means impoverished or poor, Shmuel is darshaning it to be used in the context of Oni Loshen One, is a response. So the matzah, which is referred to in this pasuk, the Lechem Oni, the bread, the lechem is a reference to bread. In the case of matzahs, it's an unleavened bread. It's non-fermented. It's rather thin, if you will, but it's nevertheless the Pesach bread. It's the bread of response, oni response. It's the bread over which we recite or we respond many things. In other words, the Haggadah recitation is done in conjunction with the matzah. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that continues to the upper part of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph that bears out Shmuel's teaching. Lechem Oini, what is that? It is Lechem She'inin Olav Dvarim Harbe. That parallels Shmuel's teaching. Dovar Acher, another approach. Lechem Oini, Oni Ksiv. In the Torah, the word Oni is spelled without a Vav, so that it comes out reading, it comes out with the letters Ayin, Nun, Yud, indicating Oni, someone who is impoverished. Ma Oni Shedarkoi Beprusa, just like a poor man. He doesn't, since he's poor, he doesn't have full loaves of bread. He has pieces. He eats pieces. That's called Prusa. Afkan Beprusa. So too, when it comes to the Seder night and the mitzvah of matzah, we make our bracha of Al Achilas Matzah over a broken piece of matzah. Dover Acher, Ma Darko Shel Oni Hu Masik V'Ishto Oifa, just like with regard to the poor man, the way the way he bakes is as follows. The poor man throws the wood into the fire of the oven. He fires up the oven, and as soon as it reaches its desired heat level, immediately his wife, who is preparing the dough, immediately the bread is put into the oven without any delay, because the poor man doesn't have a large fuel supply. Things have to work quickly, that as soon as it reaches its desired heat, there's an element here of rapidness, of quick pace. So afkan, so too, with regard to the preparation of the Pesach matzis, nami hu masik v'ishto ofa. Here, it's not a function of lack of fuel supply, but it is a function of things done rapidly so as to avoid the problem of chimutz, of the dough fermenting. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.